question today is, what are the husband and wife's obligation to each other? We've talked about the mutual obligation to love one another and trust one another. We've talked about the moral obligation as far as the wife has to the husband and the husband to the wife. We began talking on the last radio broadcast about the money obligation. And truly, that is a problem in many homes today, the money obligation. Now, you see, many, many homes are broken up because wisdom is not used in money matters, because they don't learn to live within their financial ability that God's given them. You see, money obligation, what do I do about that? Well, I don't have a 1-2-3 answer about it, but I tell you, ask God to help you control your spending lust. First of all, live within your means. Watch your credit cards, and that it can become the downfall, and they have become the downfall of many marriages. Some preach against credit cards, but I'm not necessarily against them. They can be used for a great advantage, but if you can't control your credit cards, you need to cut them up. They'll get you in trouble. And it's hard to have a proper relationship in a home when you can't pay your bills. It's hard to be spiritual when you can't pay your bills. But don't yield to temptation to stop paying your tithe. That's one of the first things that some people try to tell you to do. The creditors will tell you need to pay the tithes last. If you have any left over, I've got news for you. You won't have any left over. The Bible says this very plainly in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse number 9. It says in here, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. In other words, it's saying you need to first of all give that you owe the Lord. He's first. That's before any creditor comes along. And I know there's different, not only your creditors say you need to leave off your tithe, but there's some so-called money matters counselors that say they're Christian, and they'll tell you, pay your tithe last. Not so. God said pay it first. In fact, the business failure to pay your tithe is going to put you under a curse. The children of Israel were under a curse in Malachi chapter 3, verse number 8 and 9, where it says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. And he says, you're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, he says in the next verse. But what he's saying here is that you rob God. Now, the word for rob there is the word to embezzle. It means that a person goes into a bank with a gun. If he goes in and steals the money, he's called a bank robber. And if a teller steals money, he's called an embezzler. This is what this word here means, embezzler. And in what other words, the embezzler or the teller has the right to handle the money, but if they misappropriate it by putting some in their pocket instead of in the right place, then they're called a robber. They're called an embezzler. And the Bible says you're a robber if you misappropriate the funds that God gives you. You're responsible for all of those that God gives you, so you need to take and put them in the right place. You're under a curse if you don't. The Bible said, in fact, the business, if you rob God and get by with it, you're not saved. The Bible says about the psalmist said this about the rich. He looked at them many times, and he said, I looked at them, seemed like they got by, and then nothing happened to them. Everything they touched turned to gold. And he said, I was just about ready to throw in the towel and quit myself till I went to the congregation, went to the house of the Lord, and I saw their end. I knew that where they were going to spend eternity. You see, the only goodness that they had was in this life, and God was good to them to lead them to repentance. And so, therefore, if you don't pay your tithe, you're not saved. After you can get by with it over a period of time, and God doesn't chasten you in a soon period of time, short period of time. The Bible said in 1 John 3:9, man that to commit sin means practice naturally sin is of the devil. He's not saved. And if you can fail to pay your tithe, you're robbing God of your tithe. You say, but preacher, that's a Old Testament law. Listen, I've got news for you. Abraham started in faith before he was saved. Jacob continued in faith before he was saved. And Moses incorporated it into the law. Nehemiah restored tithing after the nation had quit tithing. And Jesus and Malachi commanded it. And then Jesus commended it in Matthew 23:23 when he said, you pay tithe of men anigh and coming, which is the herbs of the field, that you ought to have done, but you ought not to left the other undone, judgment, mercy, and truth. So he commended their tithing, but yet he said that's not the main thing. You got to be saved first before you're going to make heaven, but you need to tithe. Even lost man is commanded to tithe. You breathe God's air, You drink God's water. You eat God's food. You owe him that. You pay your tithe, and you need to do that. And the Bible says it's a promise that comes with paying that tithe. Proverbs said this in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 10, right after he said, bring all the first fruit into the house, so that my barn shall be filled with plenty, and the presses shall burst out with new wine. And then, of course, Malachi 3:10 said, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. He didn't say send them to the radio broadcast. Didn't say to send them to ask the pastor or any other preacher. We don't ask for tithes. We don't ask for offering. All of our material is given free of charge as the Lord provides for it, and he does that. And I'm thankful for that. So we're not talking about sending in anywhere. In fact, any man that's on the radio that asks you to send your tithes to them as the radio pastor, that's wrong. It's not right. That's against God. God said bring them. And the only way you can do that is forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the matter of some are in the book of Hebrews 10:25 said. In other words, talking about being in church. So bring them in the storehouse. And today it's in the storehouse, this side of the cross. The church is the storehouse, and you need to bring them in. And so you have a promise, he said there in verse number 10. He said that there may be meat in mine house. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast the fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. In other words, God said, I'll bless you, is what it amounts to, instead of cursing you. If you fail to do it, he'll curse you. The Bible said in the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 38, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So how much you reach out to others, God will reach out to you, if you please. Now, if you fail to tithe, you're going to get in worse shape. And if you want to get out of debt, start paying your tithe and keep on paying your tithe. But if you quit, you'll get deeper and deeper in debt. You may not get out of debt overnight if you start paying, but after all, you didn't get in the mess you're in overnight either. Now, many homes break up because they don't learn to live within their that financial ability that God's given them. Be happy with what God gives you. Meet your money obligation. Now, there's not only a moral obligation and a mutual obligation and a money obligation as far as the husband and the wives are concerned in the home, but there's a marital obligation. Folks, I want to tell you, sex is not dirty. We're living in a day today, in the world today, that people have made sex a produce, if you please, a product to sell. And it's dirty, but it's not that way in God's economy. You see, sex was God-given to reward love and plenish the earth. Now, I want to say something before I deal with this marital obligation in the area of sex is what it amounts to. But he said, let me say something. I'm 100% against sex education in the public school. That's not the place for sex education. In other words, if you have a class on sex education, the children are going to go out and have labs like we have in science and chemistry and whatnot, and they'll have their labs in the back seat of a parked car somewhere, and you get in trouble. You see, also, I want to say it's not the Christian school's responsibility nor the place for it to teach sex education. It's not their job. The proper way is for the older women to teach the younger women. It's what the Bible says. The Bible said in the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse number 3, he said, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So you see, he said the proper way is for the older women to teach the younger women in this area. Now, the older men are to teach the younger boys in that sense, especially mom teaching the girls and dad teaching the boys. Now, the truth is, that's just not happening in our society today. Now, it's sad, a sad thing. And we're facing a lot of sad things. I remember several years ago, don't know the exact time, but here in Kentucky, which is where we're located, but we know that they come out with CARA, which is called, I think, Kentucky Education Reform Act. But they taught the sex education down in the lower school grades, down below the sixth grade. Don't know how far down they actually went as far as this particular part of it. Kara went all the way down, I know for a fact that the homework for some of the lower grade boys to do was to go to the health department and bring back for their homework a brown bag. Well, inside that brown bag was a contraceptive device, and which they was to bring back at the homework. And listen, folks, I want to tell you, that's a bad shape to get a hold of that. And those who were taught that those years are the ones now that are keeping the brown bag rack in the health departments empty today, because they're coming in, boys and girls, and picking them up and using that out there, practicing the lab, because sex education's been taught in the school. Turn loose. Folks, it's not right. The proper way is parents to teach their children, but that's not happening. I know. I think we're inhibited about it to a certain degree. We don't want to talk about it. It's because sex has been misrepresented. Be like the boy one time, the dad was going to tell the boy about the birds and bees and said, "Son, it's time I teach you about the birds and bees." And the boy said, "Yeah, Dad, what do you want to know about it?" Listen, they know things about sex in school. They've been taught by the televisions, but it's all been misrepresented, and it's not properly. And they've got the wrong concept of sex. You see, God put sex in the Bible. Marital obligation, if you please, and he called me to preach and to teach his word. Therefore, we need to deal with a scriptural sex education in the house of God. And, of course, the radio broadcast, we're doing that because the question was asked, what's the husband and wife's obligation to each other? It's a marital obligation. Now, there's three things about this marital obligation, and I'll just get into this a little today and try to work on it again tomorrow as we talk about this marital obligation. But it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1 and 2. And as we think about this, let me read these verses, and then we'll go back and talk about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1, he said, "Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." In other words, he's saying men don't touch a woman. Now that word "touch" there, it refers to your conjugal duty, if you please. It's talking about being intimate with the opposite relationship is what it's talking about. It means sexual relationship. He goes on to say, "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every man have her own husband." In other words, let every woman have her own husband. And so therefore, you see, God put it in the Bible. Sex education, and it needs to be taught in the home. Mama needs to teach the daughters, and the daddies need to teach the son. It would be how things were in right order, and husbands and wife would meet their obligations. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.